Now that's what I'm talking about. Awesome. Greetings. This week I'm coming to you live from beautiful Seattle, Washington, sporting a fantastic view of the mountains and gorgeous vistas of scenic Puget Sound. Gorgeous sunny day here in Seattle. This is the Mental Power Hour. I am your host, T. LaVon Lawrence, NeuroSculpting Certified Mental Fitness and Brain Training Consultant, Mental Training Instructor, author, and designer of the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training System for life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower that enhances brain health and brain fitness. Fact, if you are engaged in meditative practices, be it any form of meditation, yoga, mindfulness, contemplation, etc., whether you are under a tutor or an instructor, or you are self-guided in the privacy of your own home, you are indeed engaged in a form of brain training. Yes, you are. You are training your brain. And contemporary science backs it up with overwhelming amounts of scientific data. Matter of fact, I'd say that over the past year, the most interesting scientific studies I've read have all backed up the fact that if you are engaged in some form of meditative practice, you are in the act of training your brain. You are literally changing the structure of your own brain as you engage in these forms of practices. Fact, most people engaged in various meditation-based practices are having their time wasted by instructors who have no idea how to apply the profound benefits that can be acquired through those practices. That is a travesty. It saddens me to know. And the reason I know this is because out of the thousands and thousands of people who train under the NeuroSculpting system, be it as paying subscribers to the online training studio, or the thousands of people who are using the free course that we give away, the absolutely self-contained, independent free course, I'd say at least 20% of those folks are engaged in meditative-based practices. They go to yoga classes. They go to meditation classes. They're engaged in mindfulness. They're a part of some spiritual practice that engages in some form of meditation. And when these people come to me and when I speak to them, I find out they know nothing of what they're supposed to know on how to apply these most profound practices. And that is unfortunate. And the reason they don't know most of the time is because their instructors don't know. At least they don't know how to convey it to the trainees and to the students, and that's unfortunate. It is unfortunate that a person can pay money to a gym or a studio and go in week after week and engage in yoga and meditation, or they may be in martial arts. I've got lots of people who take martial arts who engage in meditative practice as part of their training, who do not know how to leave the studio or leave the gym and then apply that knowledge to the real world. Inept instructors. Fact, no matter how vehemently some people insist on viewing meditative practices as spiritual or supernatural, the fact is that the benefits of it are psychological, biological, and entirely natural. I just told you, the scientific evidence is overwhelming. It is entirely natural. If you want to tell yourself that you are engaged in supernatural activities as you do your meditative practices, hey, you just go on ahead and have all the fun you want. But while you're convincing yourself of it, millions of people who have no such beliefs are enjoying the same experience without all the added layers of myth and ritual. There's no need to gild the lily in order to delight in its beauty, friends. Wow, have I got a show for you today. Benefits of practical real-world meditation. Amazing and practical real-world benefits that you should should be getting from your meditative mindfulness or yoga-based training that most likely you may be missing out on entirely. I just spoke to a fellow yesterday from the United Kingdom, one of my trainees. He's been in yoga for about 2 years, was flabbergasted at what I told him he should be learning from this class. Matter of fact, while I was speaking to him yesterday, he was supposed to be in the class. He instead put it off to be able to go and to get on the phone with me. Lo and behold, after he got off the phone with me, he went to a later yoga class, immediately emailed me back and told me about the new approach that he's taken to his yoga class. He's now going into his yoga class, possibly knowing far more than his own yoga teacher, at least on how to apply, well, at least on what to look for in the yoga training, and then what to do with it after he leaves the studio. In today's show, we're going to discuss the benefits you either could or should be getting from your meditative practices, whether you're being tutored, whether you're in a class, or whether you're doing it at home and you're self-guided. We're going to talk about the three aspects to use as a measure that you use as your ruler for measuring the success of your meditative training. If you're trying to improve your mind and improve your spirit, we'll use that term, then you at least need to be able to measure whether or not you're succeeding. Why go for years, guys? Why go for years doing this stuff and you don't have concrete evidence that it's doing something? If you've been taking any type of meditation or yoga for more than a year, your life should be utterly changed. And I'm not talking about just, oh, you're feeling a little bit relaxed for a few minutes a day. No. You should be, the door to you being a different human being should have opened wide by now, and you should have leapt through. Somebody should have shown you how to do it. If you've been taking yoga classes, meditation, mindfulness for more than a year, especially if you're at the 2 year, 3 year mark, you should be virtually superhuman. You should know more than most people on the entire planet on how to live an amazing life. And I'm not talking about just making money, just doing business. You should be happier than nearly anyone you know, except for maybe people who may be taking the same training as you. Hopefully you all have access to the same profound knowledge. We'll talk about some of the benefits you could or should be getting. We're going to talk about the three aspects that you use to measure. And we're going to talk about when and where your benefits should be showing up. Now, I've got a reference for you. Back in 2009, I did a show on this topic, a little bit different than this. It's about an hour and a half long show, full of great information. On this Blog Talk Radio page, if you're listening to this by phone, I understand you got a job, no problem. But you should go to this Blog Talk Radio show page, our show page, here at the Mental Power Hour. You should scroll down. You'll see a list of shows that have already been done. I don't generally do talk shows. I do training shows. Every one of these shows will do you a world of good. You will learn things that most people simply do not know about the operation of your brain. Check out the May 7th, 2009 show. May 7th, 2009 in the training archive at this Blog Talk Radio page. It's going to be more in-depth than this episode because of the length. This is 30 minutes. The other is going to be an hour and a half. I talk about a lot of other stuff complimentary to this show. Now, this show is different because we're talking more than a year later. I've got so much more experience that I can pass on. So check out that show, May 7, 2009, in the training archive. Also on today's show, I'm going to talk a little bit about the live and personal group training summaries for this week. There's just a couple topics that you need to know about. If you're in the mood to call the show, remember, we only got 30 minutes. I'm not going to be able to talk long. If you want to just get some quick advice, you can do it at 347-884-9397. That's 347-884-9397. Being that most people cannot talk to me directly, where, you know, the hours that this show comes on, people normally listen to it after they get home from work. Not a problem. If you've got some issues, you got some questions, you can either email me at trainer, T-R-A-I-N-E-R, at neurosculpting.com, N-E-U-R-O-sculpting.com, or you can give me a call, leave me a message at our phone number, 904-638-3851. That's 904-638-3851. Leave a message. I'll be able to get back to you. I do it all the time. This is a valuable show. Do yourself, do your friends a favor. When you get done listening to this show, or if you listen to the show in the archive, use the social networking buttons on the show page and share this with someone else. Give them some good news. I've got a great gift for you. If you have not signed up for the free course called 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness, go to the Neurosculpting Training Studio, www.neurosculpting.com, N-E-U-R-O-sculpting.com. Look up top. You'll see a tab. It says free 7-day course. It's completely self-contained. You don't need anything else. We've even got a forum for it, and you got this radio show page to help you out. We've also got a YouTube channel that gives you plenty of information and techniques for mental training. That page is www.youtube.com/user/dynamic mental fitness. Check out the videos that we have there. You've got more than enough to get started. And as you go along, you really want to get serious, then you can become a subscribing member of the Neurosculpting Training Studio for the life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, stronger mental discipline, and willpower. We deal in attention control, thought control. We improve the health and fitness of your brain. Visit the studio at www.neurosculpting.com. Next week's show, we're going to talk about willpower. How to manage your impulses and urges for ultimate self-discipline. Going to be a strong show. This is stuff you're not going to hear anywhere else, guys. You got to listen to it. Big disclaimer, the information we provide on the Mental Power Hour is for educational and entertainment purposes only. We do not claim nor suggest you ignore the advice of legitimately qualified mental health care professionals. If you feel you have a serious mental health issue, you should consult your doctor. Guys, I get people all the time. They come to me. They have various syndromes that they've been assessed with. I make sure, have you spoken to your doctor? Are you on medications? I need to know these things because I don't want to give you any advice that contradicts with what your healthcare professional has told you. Make sure you let your mental health care professional know that you do listen to this show, that you are training your brain, that you're improving your attention control, your thought control, you're learning to manage your impulses and urges, that you are improving your working memory, your visual working memory, et cetera. Because we're talking about your brain here, guys. It's important. Now, this past week on the live personal and group training summaries, people, we've been talking about goal setting. You have got to wire your goal into your brain. Strangely, for me, as a mental fitness trainer, one of the biggest challenges I have is simply to get people to sit down and think exclusively for the purpose of constructing their objective with mental clarity. It is like pulling teeth to get people to simply sit down for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour a day and just think on building the goal in mind. The reason you think on the goal on a daily basis is so that you wire it into your brain. If it's not wired into your brain, you will be inconsistent or you will simply fail at that goal. It will go the way of all your thoughts. The life of a thought is as follows. When you have a thought, it rises up in your central nervous system through your brain. It is accompanied by emotion and feel, and then that thought either fades away into nothing or it gets displaced by another thought and another thought and another thought. If you do not hold on to an idea on purpose on a daily basis, it will fade away into nothing. It will go the way of most of your ideas and urges and goals that you've ever had. You don't want this. You don't. The most dangerous the most dangerous enemy to your goal and your objective is its natural capacity to fade away in your central nervous system. Don't let it happen. You must think about your goal every single day. That's why it's called goal setting. because it's set like cement in your brain. If it's not that strong, you're not going to get it, or you're going to be inconsistent. You're going to take too long. You're going to make too many mistakes, okay? Now, in another show, I'll go over this as to the difficulty as to why people can't hold this stuff in their head, all right? I was going to give you a lot of detail now, but we're pressed for time. The other thing that we talked about this week, you've got to watch out. You've got to have control of your attention, guys. You've got to be able to detect the painful presence of something we call psychological opposites. When you want something, you feel pleasure about wanting it, be able to stay on the lookout for the immediate feeling of pain you feel because you don't have it. You want $1 million, you think about it, oh, that would be great. I'd have the yacht, I'd have the mansion, I'd have the island, okay? That's pleasure, right? But immediately after that, you will feel a sweeping feeling of pain, of lack, of not having. You must be absolutely in control of your attention to detect this poisonous incident. It always happens. It's called the law of opposites. It's called the law of opposites in psychology. Well, most psychologists don't even know about it. Okay, like I tell you stuff here you're not going to hear anywhere else. When you want something, you must be aware of the opposite, the pain you feel when you think about getting it. Because the very fact that you think of getting it, your brain is going to realize that it does not have it. It's going to feel pain. And the danger in that is that while your brain is feeling pain, it's going to think thoughts, I don't have this. It's then going to look around at your situation and your circumstances, and you're going to feel negatively about those things. You don't have it, so now you're going to feel lousy. You were just feeling great a minute ago, now you feel lousy about it. Guess what your mind is focusing on in that moment? It's not focusing on what you want. It's focusing on what you don't have. And with what you focus on, that's what you get. That's why you've got to have attention control, guys, so that you'll know what's happening in your own brain. So, benefits of practical real-world meditation. These are benefits that you either could or should be getting from your meditative practices. You should be getting increasingly strong control over your immediate, real-time attention at any time. You should have absolute control over your attention at any time. Any time. Whether it's right this moment, 5 minutes from now, 15 minutes from now, 2 hours from now, you should be able to pull yourself out of the grip of whatever daydream has you. Matter of fact, you should have good enough attention control to where you can detect the onset of a thought that wants to tempt you to allow yourself to be swept away by it. You're in a meditation session, guys. You're in yoga class. They're constantly telling you to center your attention on something. In order for you to center your attention on something, you've got to be able to defy the temptation of thought, to defy the temptation of external distractions in your environment in order to center on that thing. This is a skill that you are acquiring. And, of course, the obstacles to that are that the habits you've already formed, a disobedient mind, due to lack of training. You grew up, nobody told you to be able to train you on how to use your attention. So you formed a habit of mental disobedience. You haven't formed it. It formed on its own. There is a habit of mental disobedience. Your brain does not obey your command, your will. Matter of fact, it's so disobedient, it rules your life. You don't even have contact with your will most of the day. Most of the day, you're running around like an automaton, a machine, desperate. Something's eating at you. You don't know what it is. It's because you are not in control of your life in that moment. This increasing strong control over your immediate real-time attention that you should be getting from your meditative or yoga or mindfulness practice should also be giving you absolute familiarity with the experience of directing your own attention. That experience of driving your attention is very powerful. It's life-changing. Your meditative practice should give you familiarity with your attention bubble. That feeling, that perception of the world you can see as you look around. There's like a bubble there. That's your perception, but your attention is what you consciously notice. Your meditative practice should familiarize you with the ability to command that bubble, to make it go where you want it to go, to shrink in size or to widen in scale. Your meditative practice should be resulting in improved mental concentration. You should be able to direct mental concentration with ease onto objects, onto whatever task you're supposed to be engaged in, and you should be able to turn your concentration onto yourself so that you can improve your own inner life. Your meditative practices should result in a sharp, sharp reduction in daydreaming and fantasizing as an escape mechanism. You should not be wanting to run away from life by daydreaming and fantasizing always. That's not good. It may be a habit, but that's not good. Real life is a much more amazing adventure than any fantasy or daydream you can get into. And once you start to realize this, oh my gosh, and there's another one. Your meditative practices, be it yoga, mindfulness, whatever, should be giving you the power of intuitive realization so that you know things without having to think your way through them. There should be a quiet understanding. Oh, that this is what Einstein and Tesla and these other guys have. This is the root of genius, your ability to know things out of the blue as though they are being handed down to you from on high. Your meditative practice should make newfound understanding of the powers of patience, perseverance, and persistence yours to possess. You should be unstoppable. If you've been taking meditation and yoga and stuff for at least a couple of years, you should literally be unstoppable. Nothing should be able to stop you. You should have mastery over the power of thought. Anxiety, stress, inner turmoil, those things should be nothing to you, easily swept aside. Effortlessly, you should be able to deal with negative emotional patterns. Matter of fact, negative emotional patterns should not be able to get a grip on you after all this time. You should have a pervasive sense of adventure. Everything should seem new to you because for all this time, you've been operating, okay, operating your perceptions in a brand new way. This is why your brain has been rewiring itself. Unfortunately, you may have an instructor that has not been telling you these things because they may not know that. They may have had a lousy instructor. They may be so spiritual that they can't even figure out how to apply this stuff to the real world because their head is too busy being up there on the mountain. This is real world stuff that you can be applying here. You should have an absolute higher capacity for fearless action or to be able to act in defiance of fear at all times until fear is a thing of the past for you. And finally, you should have easy access to what they call the peak performance state or flow state. It's an especially popular term in sports psychology. Everything just seems to fall into place. Pressure? What pressure? Not when you have control of your attention and have control of your thoughts and emotions. So there's three aspects that you should use as measures, as rulers for your meditative training success. Skills enabling, experience enabling, and obstacle revealing. When you're engaged in meditative practice, yoga, mindfulness, whatever your practice is, whether you're under a tutor or you're doing it on your own, the skills that you use in order to center your attention, okay, the skills you use to defy thought and keep coming back to the present moment, these are skills that you can apply to every scenario of your life, socially, in relationships, in your leisure hours, in your studies, in your business and career. The skills that you use in your meditative practices can make you money, can improve your relationships, can make your leisure hours such a pleasure to where you're not constantly thinking about other things. In a social situation, it could literally make you the center of power no matter where you walk into. Experience enabling, what you understand as a result of your meditative practices, You should be able to take out into life itself and practice there also. If you know in your meditative practice that your thoughts keep bugging you when you're supposed to be centering on your breath, or you're supposed to be centering on an image, or centering on a sound, or listening to the sound of your instructor's voice as they guide you through a meditation, but your thoughts keep coming in, you know that thoughts are your obstacle, okay? You can then, whatever you do in that meditative practice to shut down that thought, or to quiet those thoughts, or slow the train of thoughts down to where you can see through to the other side, to that clear and open territory, whatever you do there, you go to work and you do that so that you can be more productive. Whatever you do in your meditative practice, you take that out to the club with you, or out to the social club, or out with your friends, so that you are not trying desperately to impress people, but to be impressive by simply being quiet and being a listener, so that you will have something to contribute to a conversation. Obstacle revealing. Whatever obstacles you're running into while you're engaged in your meditative practices, those are the exact same things that are screwing with your life on a daily basis while you're out there in the world. Those obstacles should be reducing themselves as a result of your meditative practices, which means they should not be bothering you out there in the real world. Your benefits should be showing up in work. They should be showing up in your studies. They should be showing up in your relationships. When you're trying to have a good time and relax, they should be showing up there too. The fact that you have attention, familiarity, and control, that should be showing up in your work and studies. The fact that you can center yourself should be showing up in your social and relationships and your leisure time. The fact that you are having some control over your thoughts and you're learning the nature of thought, that should be showing up in your work, your studies, your social life, your relationships, and your leisure. The fact that you are gaining more patience because you're dealing with those obstacles, that should be showing up in your goals, your career, and in your business. Guys, I want to thank you once again for joining us for the Mental Power Hour. Be sure to tune in next week's show, Willpower, How to Manage Your Impulses and Urges for Ultimate Self-Discipline. Make sure to email me at trainer@neurosculpting.com if you have any questions, and I look forward to seeing you next week.